Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. I wish I could just, I'm going to send you just this hug wave to each and every one of you. Thanks for welcoming me so graciously. So we have two announcements today. Here he comes.
Morning, everybody. It's less than 2 weeks to the flea market, and the volunteer list is kind of empty. So, final plea, please sign up for something. Okay, especially parking lot detail, duty. Baked foods, we don't have a chairperson to run that yet, and we're still, a lot of shifts are not filled. Please sign up for that. This Friday, we're going to need couple more strong people to move the bookcases from the shed out to into the fellowship hall and move the books down there, get that started. Shouldn't take very long. We're going to start at 10 o'clock, probably 45 minutes at most. Also, yard signs, essentially on the back wall right behind the organ. Please take one or two. Put them up in your yard, or if you're near intersections, you can put one safely. Please do so. And I think that's it. Please sign up if you can. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Jen.
Good morning. For those of you going on the youth group this afternoon, the hike and the ice cream, we may or may not hike, depending on if this thunderstorm comes. But either way, we will be meeting down in the Senior High Lounge at 11:30. If people have lunches, we'll eat them, and we're definitely going to get ice cream. So we are not canceling. So see you there.
Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Let us stand as we come to praise the Lord. Join me in the call to worship. Jesus has given us a new commandment.
Your commandment is to love one another.
Just as Christ loved us. Let us sing praises to God. When we come to God confessing our transgressions, we can be assured that God forgives us and loves us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, you call us to love one another, but we confess that we put conditions on that love. We label people. We make assumptions quickly. It's easy to love people with whom we feel comfortable. We confess, however, that it's more difficult to love those who are different from us. Teach us how to love and accept diversity. Help us to treasure each other for the wondrous gifts and talents each person has. Tune our hearts to your healing message of acceptance and compassion for all. Open up our lives so that your Spirit can blow through them. For we are people of the resurrection who know life is made new through God's love. Hear now our silent prayers of confession. Amen. The good news is that Christ calls us to new life and enables us to begin again and again and again and again. Through Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
think of the things that I know to be good and enjoy the blessings God has given you.
It's so hard to sing a song when everything is going wrong and the hassles of your life seem to ruin your day. But deep inside your mind are the blessings you can find that will help you smile and sing your cares away.
Invite the children forward. I'll sit over here. So first of all, I want to thank the junior choir for leading us in worship in such a wonderful way. Indeed, you help us know about God's love. And I know that you rehearse often and you work hard so that you can do a good job when you lead us. And you did. So let's everybody give them another hand. In your song, you said, think about something happy. You know what I'm going to think about? When I need to think about something happy, I'm going to think about you. Because that was really a wonderful gift you gave us. So some of you don't have a clue who I am. I know some of you, but some of you don't. So I thought I'd start this morning by telling you who I am. I am your pastor emeritus of your church. I'm thinking, you're thinking, what in the heck is that? Well, here's some things it means. It means I'm a tiny bit old. It means I'm retired. It means I used to work down the hall for years and years and years. And you know what else it means? It means I love Gates Presbyterian Church. So I'm so happy to be here today with all of you. Now, For those that don't know who I am, my name is Carol Ann. So can you say that? Carol Ann. Great. Good job. So I wanted to tell you this morning, of course, a story about my grandson. First of all, who has a pet? Almost all of you. That's great. How many of you have a dog? How many of you have a puppy? All right. Well, my grandson, whose name is Austin, just got a new puppy. He's really adorable. I brought you a picture. Isn't he cute? His name is Lincoln. And so anyway, Lincoln is adorable, but sometimes Lincoln gets in trouble. Does your puppy get in trouble ever? Sometimes. Puppies are a little like that. I mean, like some, yeah? Wow. That's a lot of puppies. That's a lot of puppies. So sometimes, like Lincoln will chew up one of Austin's favorite trains, and Austin screams at him, "Ah, Lincoln!" Sometimes Lincoln will pee on the carpet in their house, and Austin's mother picks him up and throws him out the door in the backyard. And sometimes I visit, and Lincoln will jump up all around my ankles, and I complain badly, loudly. Lincoln sometimes misbehaves, even though he's adorable and he's very cuddly and lovable. But you know what? You know what? No matter how badly Lincoln behaves, Austin and his family, me, we all love Lincoln. We love him so much, and we might correct him for his bad behavior, but we love him still. There's absolutely nothing Lincoln could do in which we would not love Lincoln. And when I was thinking about that, God's love for us is a lot like that. God loves us so much that there's absolutely nothing we can do that God would take his love away from us. So you think about that during the week and think that no matter what happens, God loves you. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Help us to spread that love to others. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
The first reading of the Word this morning is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the skies. Praise him high above the earth. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, all you armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens, and you waters above the sky. Let them praise the Lord, because they were created by his command. And he put them in place forever and ever, and he made a law that will never change. Praise the Lord from the earth, and you large sea animals and all the oceans, lightning and hail, snow and mist, and stormy winds that obey him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, crawling animals and birds, kings of the earth and all nations, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women, old people and children. Praise the Lord, because he alone is great. He is more wonderful than heaven and earth. God has given his people a king. He should be praised by all who belong to him. He should be praised by the Israelites, the people closest to his heart. Praise the Lord.
The second reading of the word this morning is from John 13. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." Let us pray. God, you are the source of all light, and by your word, you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened. Amen. When Melissa asked me months ago to preach today, I was truly delighted. And for lots of reasons. One, I love seeing all of you, and I love being home. But also, I love the scripture reading selected by the lectionary scholars for Sunday, for today, May 19th, John 13, 31 through 35. One I just read to you. I love that text.
Who doesn't, right? It's one of those beloved Bible verses that we learned in Sunday school. We learned as small children, and we remember it. That's the one Bible verse many people can quote by memory. Love one another just as I loved you. So here I am, back home, preaching about God's love to people through whom I have experienced so much love. This is a happy day for me. However, I confess, as I began working on this sermon, I was a bit baffled as to why this text is placed in the lectionary 4 weeks after Easter. And for those of you who are not familiar with the lectionary calendar, it's a calendar that provides preachers with suggested scripture readings from which to preach. The theory is that if you stick to the lectionary, you'll hit all the major scripture readings in a 3-year cycle. But why is John 13, 31 to 35 in the post-Easter lineup? For you see, the venue of this scripture is the upper room, around the table of the Lord's Supper, Maundy Thursday. And at the risk of being just a little bit sacrilegious, been there, done that, just a few weeks ago. Yet, we do return to the upper room, and perhaps we'll hear Jesus' words in a new way with the Easter story fresh on our minds. So we go back to the upper room, and for a moment, imagine Jesus and his disciples gathered around the Passover table. Together, they've experienced good times, bad times. No doubt they've cried, laughed, squabbled, and complained together. They're convinced they're on the same team, part of the same mission. One can even imagine them listening to Jesus with an attitude. Love one another just as I love you, yada, 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 yada. Of course, we each love each other. But Jesus knows more than they know. In fact, we, as post-Easter people, know more than they know. For we know that Peter, the man who would deny them all, who, me? No, I'm not a disciple. He's at the table. And we know Judas, the man who literally sold Jesus to the authorities. He's at the table. Jesus knew he was sharing a meal with some pretty unsavory folks. Yet, he washed their feet. He broke the bread. He shared the wine. He loved them in spite of it. And slowly, it dawns on us Jesus is asking us to do the same thing. He's asking us to love the Judases of our lives. But Jesus didn't say, just love the people who were lovable. You know, those people that deserve to be loved. He said, love each other. Including the people who disappoint you, who hurt you, who scare you, who betray you. Love each other. Well, I think we would all agree it's easy to love folks we admire and respect. People who have our values, our way of thinking, our political inclinations. It's so much harder to love those who are not like us. What's wrong with them? Who think differently. who act differently, who worship differently, who parent differently, who vote differently. But Jesus told John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Andrew, and all the others to even love Judas. I guess the events of the Easter story are helpful in understanding this new commandment. Now, I want to be clear. This is not a mandate to remain in unhealthy relationships. It is a mandate, however, to love the unlovable. And frankly, sometimes for us humans, that requires a long process of forgiveness. But that's the task Jesus gives us. To strive to forgive the people who have wounded us, denied us, even betrayed us, and in so doing, eventually love them as God loves them. But you know, there's a flip side to this commandment. For some, the flip side might even be harder. Because not only are we to love, but we're to accept the love that's coming our way. To understand it as God's love flowing through us. Both the give and the take of love forces us to open ourselves to God. And sometimes that love comes from the most unlikely places. But God still wants us to rejoice in it, not reject it. I had such an experience last weekend. I was with a few of my family members, and we met in Pittsburgh for a family reunion of sorts. And to the delight of all, especially the 4- and 5-year-old who were with us, we decided to stop at an ice cream store after dinner. From milkshakes to sorbet, from chocolate to raspberry, we were enjoying our treat as we happily walked out the door of the ice cream shop. Immediately, outside, we heard clanging coins in a can. Now, for those of us taller children, also called adults, the bearded man sitting on the sidewalk was, I am very ashamed to say, pretty easy to ignore. The sidewalk was below. The ice cream was delicious, and the conversation was intriguing. This man was just another beggar. But not so much for 4-year-old Austin, my grandson. Being only 4, Austin stood basically eye to eye with this man. He stopped. He stared at the man. And he surmised that the stranger on the ground, shaking his can, was actually offering him money. So Austin reached into the can and joyfully retrieved a handful of coins. The rest of us grown-up types quickly responded, "No, Austin, give the man back his money." Nope. Meanwhile, he was forcefully protecting his new treasure with a tight fist. He looked up at us with his big brown eyes, and typical 4-year-olds, and with complete innocence, asked, "Why?"
Why? Why? Oh, there's so many reasons why.
But it wasn't the time to enlighten him about cultural economic disparity or the societal conditions surrounding systemic poverty or even to launch into a theological discourse about feed my sheep. Instead, unfortunately, it was the time for the six adults to awkwardly stand on the sidewalk, speechless. Well, then, the man with beard, sitting cross-legged on the sidewalk, kindly looked at Austin. Little boy, he said, I want you to keep the money you have, and I want to give you more money. And he reached into his can and gave Austin a handful of additional coins. But ice cream wasn't the treat that night. The treat was, the gift was, the love we experienced from this stranger. He had rescued us from our assumptions, our arrogance, our biases, our awkwardness. He taught us about unconditional, sacrificial love, how to love rather than hate, to give rather than collect, to smile rather than to rage. We all choose how we're going to respond to the world. This man chose love. You at GPC have also chosen love. For you at GPC are seeking to live fully into the new commandment. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. Well, I know this because I'm a GPC stalker. I miss you, so I stalk you. Ask anybody that's gone out to dinner with me. I keep up with what you're doing. I know because I'm a snoop, and I know that you've been through a recent difficult decision. As the story came to me, Path Stone presented you with an opportunity to use your property in order to address local housing issues. The offer challenged you. It challenged you to determine God's will for this congregation. Sometimes I wonder, why didn't God just write the answer in the sky? It'd be so much easier. But since God doesn't, I applaud you for the way you engaged in the discernment process. You prayed. You researched. You listened. You listened to each other. You questioned. You debated. You struggled. I know, I heard, that there were strong feelings on all sides. And from a distance, I was aware that those strong feelings, whatever, wherever they came from, always reflected the love that you have for this community of faith. Love for your history. Love for your mission. Love for your future. Love for each other. And love for God. Indeed, the common denominator was love. And since God didn't write his answer in the sky, you, much like the first church in those early days of Christianity, impressively used tools of discernment to determine what the answer was.
After all, we are Presbyterians. It's what we do. In fact, it's one of the reasons 40 years ago I became a Presbyterian, leaving my generational Baptist heritage behind. Because Presbyterians believe that God is literally in the debate, and that God's will is discerned through the process of questioning. Debate, question, listening. Believe me, sometimes it's annoying when Presbytery meetings go on and on and on and on and on and on. Friends battle friends. But I am convinced that God is in the process, and that God was in your process. You, my friends, regardless of what position you took, you were part of a sacred process. You cared enough to struggle, and in the end, you voted. Discernment is messy. It's not a walk in the park. It's hard work. But you did it anyways. Celebrate. Celebrate, my friends. You opened yourselves up to divine possibilities. Now, whether you voted yes or no, you were part of a sacred process. And whether you're even here to vote or you are supporting through prayer, you were part of a sacred process. That's no little thing. And no doubt, Gates Presbyterian Church is indeed a vehicle for God's love. Accept that love. Rejoice in it. And continue to share it. Share it with each other and share it with the world. You are Easter people living boldly the new commandment of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. invite you to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern. Willie?
Morning. Larry Wakeman. I ask for prayers for my mother-in-law, Ruth Brousseau, who is recovering from surgery.
Morning, Mary Hadley. A while ago, I asked for prayers for my cousin, Rosanna Meyer, in Virginia, and she's dealing with pancreatic cancer. The good news is that they believe the tumor is treatable. She's been undergoing a series of very rough chemo treatments to shrink the tumor and then hopefully get her into surgery. She's been doing really well. She was told that this particular regimen of chemo is something that many people drop out from, but she's got our grandmother's strength and courage, and she's really fighting through. But this past week, she did miss a treatment because she spiked a fever, and they don't know what caused it, and so, you know, they're monitoring her. But I would really appreciate your continued prayer so that she can get this tumor taken care of and get on a full path to recovery. Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving, listening God, you call us to love one another, and we know that it's only with your help that we can do so. We confess that sometimes our wounds are so deep that love for those who hurt us seems outrageous. Sometimes our convictions are so sincere love for those without them seems disloyal. Sometimes behavior seems so horrendous that love for the offender seems impossible. Yet we hear the words of Christ, love one another just as I have loved you. And, O God, we try. Help us, O God, to walk in your light, understanding that love is not about who and why, but instead about to whom we belong, you. You who loves us unconditionally. And out of our gratitude to you, we want to be loving people as you have taught us through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. This morning, we come praying for Melissa. Grant her safe travels and inspiring experiences. Be with her family in her absence. May she know that she goes with our love and our prayers. Strengthen the people of this congregation for leadership while she is gone. And we pray for the leaders of our nations, that their decisions may be based on the dignity and worth of all of your people. We ask that your winds of peace calm the conflicts between our nation and Iran. We ask that you hear our prayers for loved ones, those named today, and for those concerns that are heavy on our heart. Wrap them with your love so that they may live in hope even in the darkest days. And we ask that you hear us now as together we pray the prayer we taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to bring your gifts forward.
Let us pray. Generous God, you bless us in so many ways and with so many gifts. As thankful people, we offer our gifts. Please help us to use them to serve you together, united by love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go into the world as people united by God's love. Serving in spirit and truth. Remembering love is the strength of our soul. Amen.